This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I tear open my shirt and I show a rosy on my chest, 'cause I'm a wanderer.
Remember Dion? That was one of his best. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Yes, I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, July the 19th. We are running through this month rather quickly, are we not? We have a lot going on today. I mean a lot. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with George Beebe of the Quincy Institute on Russia's decision to block Ukraine from exporting grain and other food items during the war, and how it will worsen hunger, number one, and hike food prices. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And two whistleblowers in the Hunter Biden probe will testify today of a cover-up and a slow walking of any real action against the president's son, and we're going to take a look at that as well. And Donald Trump does an Iowa town hall last night. He calls out what may be his third indictment. Would you believe a third indictment coming up later this week? This one supposedly involving the January 6th incident at the Capitol building. We are going to discuss that as well. And we got a good one, a real good one in our ultimate top 10. The top 10 U.S. cities with the worst drivers. We'll even explain how they came up with it. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been saying this for a long time. I have never found a better place to get a haircut, man. Best haircut, great price. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Also, we're sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. I've worked with them. They are great. They are professional, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever. Arbor Life is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So this afternoon, two whistleblowers will come before a joint committee of Congress to allege that the Justice Department politically interfered with an investigation into President Biden's youngest son, Hunter. They'll be testifying about 1 o'clock this afternoon. One of them they're calling Whistleblower X because we don't know who he is. But he's a 13-year special agent with the IRS. And by the way, his identity is apparently going to be revealed during the hearing. So takes a lot of courage, especially if you've been following the way these people are treated, if they dare come forward. But they are the true patriots. They are the true patriots, in my opinion. According to an opening statement that was released ahead of time, the unidentified whistleblower intends to describe himself as, quote, a whistleblower compelled to disclose the truth, unquote, and to shed light on the what he calls the shadow that looms over our federal legal system. Here's what he goes on to say in this testimony. I have witnessed the corrosion of ethical standards and the abuse of power that threatens our nation. It is within this context that I have chosen to shed light on these actions and expose those responsible. I recognize that while I was present at the start of this investigation and was closely involved with the investigation for roughly 5 years, that I am just a part of the story. He says, my aim is to address systemic problems that have allowed misconduct to flourish. It is not a call for blame, but a call for accountability and reform. Now, all of this is going on when, curiously, this Stephen Smith character announces that he's about to indict Donald Trump again. Does seem awfully coincidental, does it not?
What did we just say? What was it, Monday? What did I just say? Things were too quiet.
There you go, Ed. You were right.
Something has to come up soon.
You were right.
So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. You're prescient. And that's not a bad term. You're prescient. You can predict. Mm. Well, so Trump, and you watched it, Ed, I think.
Yeah.
I watched some of it last night. He goes on Sean Hannity and he does a town hall in Iowa. And he called out against the Justice Department's investigation into his efforts to remain in power after losing the election in 2020. This was apparently his first on-camera comment on the investigation. And he said he was bothered by the timing, like a lot of people are. They give him this so-called, I forget what the term is, but they contact him to tell him he may be indicted, basically. I think it's called a targeting or a target letter, something like that, yeah. As if, what's he going to do, you know, and they're going to call him out real soon and bring him up. Here's the deal. I've been thinking about, what exactly did he do? He said March, if I remember the the words were something like peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol building. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
He didn't say, let's storm the Capitol building. I want you to break into the Capitol building. We got to attack people at the Capitol building. He didn't say anything. He said, march peacefully and patriotically to
I'll tell you what,
the Capitol building.
We're going to do that.
And now they're going to indict him because a bunch of them ran in and started breaking through.
If we're going to do that, then let's charge Maxine Waters with something that Black Lives Matter erupted to. How about that?
She actually called for confrontation.
Oh, she did. Yeah, I know she did. But all those Black Lives Matter rallies, well, come on, riots. Sorry, I had the wrong R. Riots.
Yeah.
And nobody was held accountable. In fact, a couple of people got rich off of it.
Yeah.
And their families got nice houses.
This is this is further proof.
But
if anybody
looks into that, nobody looks into something with Biden swept under the rug. Go on to the next thing. Cocaine in the White House. Well, somebody dropped it. No big deal.
I don't you believe that more and more people are finally realizing there are two systems? Two
I don't know.
Tiers of justice.
You know, there was this there
right
was
now.
This, there was this.
They are.
I know. But the problem, and here's the problem. This guy was out on the streets interviewing people, and he had a Biden shirt on. He went up to people and said, are you going to vote for Trump? And this woman said, oh, no. Why not? Because he's a thief and a liar. How so? What do you mean, how so? Haven't you seen the news? There you go.
They'll buy any. Listen, if you don't like Trump, it won't make any difference if he walks on water. All you'll say is he's afraid of getting his hair wet. Not kidding. They will not like him, and they're not going to change their. It's a visceral feeling, and Trump engenders. Let's be honest. Trump engenders, or brings out, a visceral feeling, whether it's positive or negative. You and I both know people on both sides that are like that. They'll either back him no matter what, or they will condemn him, and it won't make any difference what he does. It won't.
I mean, how do you on the Dems?
He brings out gut emotion, does he not?
But the people that we have running this country, on both sides. I mean, how do you make a case for Fetterman? How do you make a case? I'm sorry, the guy had a stroke, But he does. I mean, listen, I'm never going to be an underwear model. But that's all there is to it.
I think he'd make a good underwear model.
You're going to put this guy and he can't form a sentence? Sure, if he was Biden's secretary, he'd be a perfect secretary for Biden.
Did you see the two
of them could put a sentence together.
Did you see Biden nodding off with the president of Israel yesterday?
I'm telling you,
he was sitting there. He was sitting there, and he started to collapse in
the
chair.
In the last 6 months, the way he walks, he's holding on to things.
Yeah, getting bad. All right, we're going to change gears and horses here. We're going to take our break. When we come back, our buddy George Beebe of the Quincy Institute will join us. We're going to talk about Russia's halting of the Black Sea Grain Initiative.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Delighted to have back a good buddy of ours, George Beebe, who is the director of grant strategy at the Quincy Institute. He was the former director of Russia analysis for the CIA. He's a former advisor to Dick Cheney when Cheney was vice president on Russia. He's got a good pedigree, my friends, and we're going to talk with him about the halting or blocking of the Black Sea Grain Initiative. This is a UN-backed deal that has allowed Ukraine, even during this war, to export grain and some other food things to the world. George, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, so much going on, and then things like this occur, and it may be of more importance to the world than a lot of the things we've been discussing here recently. Because this grain initiative has been allowing Ukraine, and first of all, we realize from this that Ukraine has been a huge producer of food, have they not?
Oh yeah, that's fine. They are one of the world's top producers and exporters of grains, as are the Russians.
Yeah, and so now, what's going on here? I know we got a war, but up until recently, apparently Russia has allowed the export of grain from the Ukraine. All of a sudden, is this something that's just recently occurred? And why do you think they have decided at this point to block the export?
Yeah, well, after this invasion began in February of 2022, the Russians instituted a blockade of Ukraine's ports on the Black Sea. And this resulted in a skyrocketing of food prices around the world. I think Americans noticed at the time that suddenly their loaves of bread at the store were a lot more expensive. I'm not sure a lot of people connected the dots, but there was a profound effect on on world food prices at the time, and the United Nations and Turkey stepped in as mediators and tried to find some way to address this problem. And the Russians and the Ukrainians agreed to this grain deal in July of 2022, and that allowed for the escort of cargo ships that were hauling grains from three different Ukrainian ports to cross the Black Sea to avoid the mines that the Russians had laid there and get back and forth to export markets. Now, the Russians did this in part because they were trying to appeal to what's called the Global South, Africa, Middle East, Asia, Latin America. They were looking for political support from this part of the world in their efforts against Ukraine and NATO. And they were thinking that this was a gesture of goodwill, but they also were assured at the time that the United Nations would help facilitate Russia's own exports of grains. And that hasn't really happened. The Russians increasingly have said, hey, wait a minute, the terms of the deal we agreed to have not been fulfilled. You're not helping us with our exports. And most of the Ukrainian exports aren't going to the Global South. The vast majority of them are going to Europe and China and Turkey, not to the poor nations in the world that really need the help. So the Russians have said, look, unless you address these things, we're out of this. They've warned for many months now that this would happen if their demands weren't met. And ultimately, they pulled the plug and said, hey, you know, you're not hearing us. So we're in a problem.
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, it sounds like Russia might have somewhat, it's not what I would call a real legitimate reason, but why were they blocking Russia's exports? Or what was going on with that?
Well, see, the Russian food exports are not specifically targeted by Western sanctions. But Western sanctions have interfered with the ability of the Russian bank that actually handles these transactions for these food exports to get access to the world financial system, essentially. And so this has been
a big problem. Indirectly affected their food exports. Yeah. So this came up, this blockade or blocking, just came up earlier this week. Is that right?
Well, no, the Russians have been warning about this for quite some time. They've been saying, look, we're not going to continue to extend the deal unless you take some actions to address our concerns. And finally, they said, okay, you're not taking action, so we're pulling the plug. So this hasn't been a sudden thing. The Russians have been signaling that they were going to make this move for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so now they've it's complete. All right. So this is going to obviously this is less food to places that have been possibly depending on the food. And B, is this going to affect the price of food products even worse than they are now?
Yeah. No, I think that it already is. You're seeing the futures markets for these commodities starting to skyrocket, and that will fairly soon show up at the cash registers, not just for people in poorer parts of the world, but here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with George Beebe. Currently, he's the director of Grand Strategy. I love that, by the way. That's a great title.
I like it too.
The director of Grand Strategy. It almost, I don't know, it sounds like you need to have a palace at the Quincy Institute. But also, he has been a former director of Russia Analysis for the CIA. And he was on Vice President Dick Cheney's team as an advisor on Russia. George, let me expand on our discussion a little bit here. Are we going to see, in your opinion, are we going to see an end to this Ukraine war in the near future? What is your crystal ball telling you?
Well, my crystal ball is not very optimistic on this right now. It's not impossible to imagine this war coming to some sort of negotiated end, but right now, none of the parties involved, the Russians, the Ukrainians and the United States and Europe, which of course are playing a very large role in helping the Ukrainians fight in this war. None of the parties right now appears very interested in pursuing serious negotiations to bring the fighting to an end. Now, could their willingness to do that change? Yes, that's certainly conceivable, but I think what's going to have to happen in the interim is the parties are going to have to realize that they really can't achieve much more on the battlefield by continuing the fighting. Right now, the Ukrainians are still holding out hope that their counteroffensive might make progress, even though right now I think it's clearly failing. The Russians, I think, still hold out hope that after the Ukrainians punch themselves out in this counteroffensive, that Russia will be in a position to launch a counterattack against the much weakened Ukrainian military. So, you know, I think the United States needs to be changing its position on this, trying to bring about a situation of the battlefield that demonstrates to the Russians they can't win, and also to preparing the political ground for some negotiations. And so far, we're not doing that.
No, we're not. I listened to Donald Trump. He says he can shut down this war within 24 hours. Now, he also said when he was running the first time and won that he would have Mexico pay for the southern border. So we're not going to, you know, take him, we'll take it with a grain of salt. But he talks about, if he talks to both Zelensky for Ukraine and Putin for Russia, he'll make them realize that they can't go on, and he will somehow, kind of in his own way, kind of threaten both of them with doing certain things, and he thinks that somehow he's going to be able to close down. I mean, he gives me the impression that he thinks that both Putin and Zelensky really do want to end the war, that Putin is really, you know, he's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place right now. He's starting to realize, perhaps, that it's very hard. You know, winning battles is one thing. Occupying and keeping the occupation is quite another thing.
Well, that's true. I think Putin has to be pessimistic that the Russian military is capable of seizing the Ukrainian capital and deposing the Zelensky government and ruling territory that it has conquered. That's probably too much to hope for the Russians. I think the thing about Trump and this war is right now he's the only candidate running for the presidency that is saying we actually have to make it an explicit objective to bring this war to an early close. You can debate about how quickly we might be able to do that, and I think you're right to be skeptical about being able to do this in a day. Nonetheless, if we don't set this as an objective and try, we're likely to be in for quite a devastating long war that hurts the Ukrainians first and foremost, but also is constantly under the threat of escalation into a direct war between the United States and Russia, which would be a disaster.
Yeah.
So I think Trump has the right idea in pointing toward the direction we need to be heading.
You know, the other thing, speaking about bringing it into kind of a larger war than it is the talk that when the war ends, somehow Ukraine goes into NATO. And there's been this kind of deal, or wink, I guess, or whatever, where the United States will back Ukraine's entry into NATO. So now Putin is looking at this, and he's going, okay, well, I can't afford to have Ukraine become a NATO country. What do I need to do to keep it from becoming a NATO country? Well, first of all, I guess I got to keep fighting, because as long as there's a war going on, NATO dare not accept Ukraine into NATO. Your thought on that?
I think that's exactly right. If you know, Putin was wondering what he needed to do to keep Ukraine out of NATO, we told him the answer: just keep this war going.
Yes.
So we've created an incentive for him not to end the war, and I think that's quite a problematic position for us to be in.
Yeah. Do you think is the Biden administration aware of this? I mean, you and I are aware of. They must be aware that Putin will want to keep this war going. Now, then you got the people that say, "Yeah, well, that's because Biden wants to, you know, help fund defense contractors, blah, blah, blah." You know, you get into sort of a little bit of a conspiracy thing going on with the fact that maybe the United States or the Biden administration wants the war to keep going.
Well, I don't know the answer to that, but if so, I think this is a very dangerous and misguided game for us to be playing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is always a pleasure to have you on, George. You're always so knowledgeable about things like this. I appreciate very much that you came on and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Great, thanks.
Thank you, George. All right, George Beebe of the Quincy Institute. Boy, oh boy, when is this war going to end? You know, originally, I thought this might go. I thought that Russia would handle it rather quickly. Boy, was I wrong. It's going on and on and on. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, a lot of things going on. We talked already about the town hall with Donald Trump, but we've got some other things going on with Merrick Garland and the possibility that he might be impeached.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful. I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Here's something of interest. With all this other stuff going on, you know, between Biden and Trump and everything else, House Republicans are debating whether to focus impeachment efforts on Merrick Garland. He's the Attorney General. And this comes after the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, suggested that an inquiry be going on against Merrick Garland. He first elevated this topic with a tweet last month, touting the testimony of these IRS whistleblowers. And they're going to be talking again, I think, around 1 o'clock this afternoon. But here's Merrick Garland, and all these things are going on. We can't find the cocaine and Justice Department and the FBI and all of these indictments against Donald Trump and all of the delay on Hunter Biden. So finally, maybe we're getting less wobbly. I say we. Republicans may be getting less wobbly with this. And maybe they should just bring old Merrick Garland into all of this this time and trouble. So we got our buddy, Master Barber Andrew Ceraci, has joined us. And Andrew, I think I know what you were doing around 9 o'clock last night.
Yes, you do, my friend. And you know I was listening to the Donalds. And I'll yes. tell you what, he's going all the way, buddy. And they keep another indictment against him. What is wrong with are these people? That do they think the American people are that stupid?
Yeah, in fact, here's an interesting thing that I found. Another indictment of Trump, this time in relation to January 6th,
oh, God.
Is undoubtedly a legal risk, but could further galvanize his campaign.
Oh, they're galvanizing it all right. They're making it stainless steel, buddy. They aren't going to be able to destroy it. Because the more they keep this up, Paul, the more people are backing Trump.
I think you're right.
Because they see what's going on.
Yeah.
They're making him the most popular president in the world.
Do you think this is kind of sucking the oxygen out of the Ron DeSantis campaign a little bit?
I think the balloon is deflated, Paul.
Do you?
Yeah.
And the rest
anyway,
of them.
You know, mm-hmm. And then last night when Trump says he could end this war, let me tell you something. The people themselves, if they really knew what's going on with this war, Paul, cities are obliterated, right? Apartment buildings destroyed, hospitals, schools, cities. How come, only 5 people got killed today? I'd like to know the real death count, Paul, because I guarantee you there's got to be over 100,000 people killed in the Ukraine.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And I have heard that there are a lot of people, and these numbers are not being honestly published.
Well, they don't even publish any numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm old enough to remember that during the Vietnam War, they were not
that's
publishing
right.
the numbers. And, they were keeping those numbers. I'm sure they were probably doing it during World War II and possibly the Korean War, too.
Well, if the people knew how many people are getting killed, I believe Trump could end this war in a day.
Yeah.
Okay. He says one thing. He's not concerned about who's winning. He wants the killing stopped. And you know what? He's right. And if the people knew what was going on, they'd put an end to it themselves.
Yeah.
They'd get rid of this administration that's feeding this war. Putin wants it stopped too. Putin's losing face. He'd look for any agreement. You know what? Trump's the one that can do it. And you know, like you said, well, you know, they didn't give him money for the wall. Well, Paul, if he got money out of Mexico in a lot of different ways, okay?
Yeah.
Roundabout ways. How many billions of dollars did they have to put up to have 28,000 soldiers there?
Well, I was just going to say, and he brought that up, and that is a good point. In many ways, he did have Mexico pay by bringing the police forces of Mexico up to the wall to help slow down the entries.
Paul, how many billions of dollars did he get from China who's taken us over? How many billions did he rake in from them before these morons and the administration stopped all the tariffs from China?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing with Donald Trump. He's willing to go and talk with these leaders and sit down with them. As an example, with the Ukraine war, he says, you know, and he will do it, and we know he will go over there, and he'll sit down and he'll talk with Zelensky, and then he'll go over and he'll sit down and he'll talk with Putin. And I know that he will do that, and he will get them to listen, and he will rattle the chains. He will rattle the chains, and Biden won't do that. And nobody fears Biden. They don't think Biden's going to do anything because, quite frankly, if you've been watching him recently, he can barely stand up straight. So, you know, I think in many ways, things are starting to come together for Trump.
Well, all these indictments. Look at the one now come out January 6th. Well, the moron's got a video of him in his speech sitting there saying, now let's peacefully and patriotically march to the Capitol.
That's what we said earlier
now,
on the show today.
Now they are bringing up, why don't they bring up how the feds instigated all? They got all the proof that the feds, look at that Ray Epps, whatever his name is. He was in there instigating everything.
Who's Ray Epps again? I'm sorry.
He was an FBI guy that was in there dressed up as a Trump Make America Great man instigating. Let's go in there. Let's break the doors down.
Okay, now, go ahead. I've heard that there were some people like that, but do we know that for sure?
They got videos of them doing it.
Okay.
I've seen them.
All right.
There's live videos of them doing it.
Well, they ought to be showing that more, because if this guy was an FBI agent, they should they should call him. They should call him up before a committee and grill him.
Paul, listen, they need to do something with these committees because things are coming out a little at a time, but they're not coming out quick enough. Listen, Merrick Garland should have been tarred and feathered a long time ago.
Yeah, well, okay. doesn't it sound like Kevin McCarthy is willing to consider an impeachment of Garland?
Well, you know what? I hope Kevin McCarthy does something for once.
Well, remember that they don't have policing power. You got to remember that. The Justice Department has the ability to subpoena, haul you into court, and put you before a judge. They can't do that from a legislative standpoint, but they can withhold money. They can withhold, for instance, they can withhold money on building a new FBI palace somewhere. You know?
You mean you're talking like what Joe Biden did in the Ukraine?
Yeah, I mean they can withhold money from all of them. Now that's where the people will start to perk up.
You know, Paul, people need to perk up. They need to hear these 17 recordings of Mr. Biden and his son on the phone. I mean, come on, how people they cannot believe that that's true.
Okay, and you know what? I've heard they got to find them because you know what?
Apparently they lost again.
Apparently they can't. They haven't gotten their hands on these, 13 recordings. And they're somehow mysteriously in the hands of some guy running around in Europe or something like that, and what's happened to him. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on.
Sounds like the case in Alabama with that missing girl. No story adds up to anything for 2 days.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's the same thing, Paul. It's a bunch of humbug, and the American people need to wake up, and we need to take this country back. And Donald Trump's the only one that's going to do it.
We're talking with Andrew Ceresi, the master barber, very much in Trump's corner. And we're talking about how we can make things better. What do you think about these whistleblowers? They're going to come on around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Do you think, by the way, that this nut that's trying to indict Trump for the third time, I guess his name is Jack Smith, do you think he's tried to do this because of the whistleblowers that have recently been coming forward?
Of course. Paul, everything is timed. It is the weaponization of our government against the American people. It is tyranny, period.
Yeah.
And our Constitution says we have the right to take over our government, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they're trying to, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what would the charge be against Donald Trump on the January 6th thing, when he clearly didn't say, hey, let's storm the Capitol? He said, let's march peacefully and patriotically to the Capitol.
The Democrat Party reminds me of the old Romans. Okay, look at the charges they had against Jesus.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. The Democrat Party is trying to do the same thing to Trump. The only thing is, I don't think there's going to be too many Pontius Pilates. I think there's going to be 80 million people standing behind Trump, my friend.
Well, so far, you're right. It's looking, like you say, it's getting better and better for Donald Trump.
I got news for you. People are who? Ron DeSantis who?
You think so?
I know so.
Wow.
Maybe Trump's use of words, let's peacefully march, what seems to work and not get caught is he should have said something like, let's kick it and steal us some free stuff.
That's right. That would have been fine.
Then there would have been no charges.
Then there wouldn't be any charges.
No.
It's amazing. Like I said, this is almost like the Bible being relived in human form. Yeah. Period.
Well, it's proving or it's opening a lot of eyes. Those that might not have thought there were two systems of justice in this country, they got to start believing now that there must be.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to give Mitch McConnell the nickname of Judas. Okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Where is he recently? He's been very... He's
That's
been
your
hiding.
Judas, buddy. That's
yeah.
your Judas right there.
He's not in the group. He left the group.
But
he left the other disciples.
But believe me, Trump will not get crucified, okay?
Yeah.
This is human.
Well, here's
you're
the
see
deal.
What goes on.
Here's the deal. You've got the independents that are going to make the difference. Now, we got, of course, Biden is getting worse and worse, and now this time around, everybody realizes how ineffective Biden is. They didn't possibly realize it the first time around, but now they're going to realize it. That should help Donald Trump.
You know, Paul, either the independents are totally stupid or they don't know what they are either. That's why they're independent. Because all you got to do is ask them the question, are you better off today than you were 3 years ago?
Right.
And you know what the answer is? No.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right. Now, Do you think America has enough sense, common sense, to see that and vote Biden out?
You know, Paul, I still got faith in the American people. Don't get me wrong. There's about 45%. They're going to learn a big lesson. And the only lesson they'll ever learn is if this country gets attacked again on its own soil. Then those 40% are going to be running with their tails between their legs. And we're going to have to protect them. And they're going to learn.
Yeah. This is the most critical election coming up that I think in my lifetime we've ever had. And I hate to say, probably the worst shape our country has been in going into that election.
Well, Paul, I believe, and I told you before, that the man up above has got his thumb on Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right. A thumb on his shoulder.
That's it. Yeah. He got it there, Paul, and he's guiding. Listen. The reason Ron DeSantis is messing up so far now the way he is because he doesn't have Trump advising him.
As you're talking, I just notice on the Chiron, I guess it is, for Fox News, DeSantis trims campaign staff amid cash crunch.
That's right.
So I wonder. But, you know, it's still early. Let's be honest.
You know what? It's early for the election, but it's almost too late for the country, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We got to turn things around here. We really do. Thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure. I'm going to see you a little later, but thank you very much.
You got it, buddy. You guys have a good day.
And the same to you. The Master Barber. He's a true, I would call him patriot, because he wants to see this country do well.
I know, Paul, but I still remember not long ago that Trump poster was in the back room for a while. They had a little spat. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I said, come on, I went in the barbershop. Where's Trump?
You know,
he was in timeout.
I thought, because Andrew knows the family so well, the DeSantis family is what I mean, that he would switch his affections. But, yes, in the long run, he's decided, no. You know, he thinks Trump's the guy. Mm. Got to give him credit. He's, you know, with all of his connections to the DeSantis family, that's pretty interesting. Anyway, let's take our final break. And among other things, when we come back, we're going to tell you the top 10 U.S. cities with the worst drivers.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works on a Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. By the way, we are here 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we always appreciate it when you find time to listen. However, if you're busy, thanks to Big Ed, you can take your time and go to our website and click on the podcast button, and you can listen to any of our shows. Ed's got all our shows up there. Most recent show will be at the top. You'll see who the guest will be. You'll see our top 10, everything you need. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button, and away you go. Ed, did we talk about this? Did you know that Disney is making a new version of Snow White?
No, we didn't talk about it, and I did see, I saw the...
Did you know what they were going to do?
Yeah, the dwarfs are going to look more like they've been...
They were going to make the dwarfs something else. They were going to make the dwarfs politically correct creatures.
Yeah.
Now, I got a story on this. They have Walt Disney Company has backtracked on its claim that photos that showed Snow White's new accomplices, previously called the Seven Dwarfs, were fake in what a news outlet said was a misunderstanding. Now, this sounds to me like they have pulled back the decision to change the dwarfs because of pressure.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But,
well, they leaked it out to see what the reaction would be, and evidently it wasn't what they expected.
Yes. The Daily Mail published a story, I guess it was Friday last week, showing an inside look into Disney's live-action production. The outlet accused Disney of adapting the dwarfs into, quote, magical creatures, unquote, to be politically correct. But here's what a Disney spokesman says. The photos are fake and not from our production. We are currently trying to have the Daily Mail issue a correction. However, Disney walked back their previous statement verifying the photos.
Well, yeah.
So here's the deal. The photos, it's true they were thinking of it, and there were photos, but they've decided they're not going to do it.
So far, we've shut down a ride and changed that because did something about slavery in a movie from the 40s. Then we changed the Little Mermaid to fit. So now Snow White is next, I guess.
There you go.
To fit the thing. You know what? I think let's see.
You know, by the way,
want to create an uproar. Remember the sitcom The Jeffersons, George Jefferson.
Sure, I do.
Let's redo that one. Cast it all white people and see what happens. Sanford and Son.
That's another one. Speaking of Disney movies that you'll never see again, at least for a while, the movie Dumbo. You know why?
Why?
Because there was a scene in Dumbo where there were a bunch of crows. And they were all on this, as I remember it, they were all on this telephone pole, and they were singing a great song.
Right.
But they were portrayed with a kind of an African-American accent as they sang. Okay? So you're not going to see that Dumbo movie because of that scene. And it's actually a very cute scene, you know. But people are so politically correct. So this is the kind of thing that's going on these days. It's really sad.
Meanwhile, you can still watch Blazing Saddles.
Yes. You can watch Blazing Saddles. But they, except on Turner, if you watch it, they cut out certain words in that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Okay. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, is there anything going on in baseball that we should talk about?
The Rays are falling fast.
Are they?
Faster than Kamala Harris's approval rating.
Oh, that's terrible. That must be plummeting.
So they've lost three in a row. They're about to get swept by Texas this afternoon. And then they're home against Baltimore, which will probably either sweep them or give them maybe they'll be able to steal one game.
Oh, you're giving up on them. What's going on?
There's a cancer in that locker room they haven't taken care of.
So you think that it's because of some of a personality problem?
Somebody just is very jealous that other players are being recognized, and I'm supposed to be the face of the franchise.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we don't like that. We got to get Kevin Cash, the manager, he's got to excise that cancer.
Yes.
All right. Time for our top 10, Ed. These are the top 10 U.S. cities with the worst drivers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. But it's based on Consumer Affairs analysis, and the study reviewed crash data from the U.S. Department of Transportation and info included in the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration's what they call fatality analysis system. The site then ranked cities based on four things: crash fatalities per 100,000 people, the number of fatalities per 100,000 people due to bad driving, positive blood and alcohol content, and speeding.
Okay,
so here we go. Top 10 worst U.S. cities with drivers. Number 10, Pueblo, Colorado. Is that near where you go skiing?
No, that's way out west.
Okay. Well, they're rotten drivers in Pueblo for some reason. Number 9, and I've been here, Rockford, Illinois. That surprises me. Mm. It's a blue-collar town. Yeah. I wonder what's going on with those people. Number 8, I'm not exactly sure where this is, but Hesperia, California. Mm. Do you know where that is?
No.
Southern, Northern California, one of the two. Okay. We have a tie for number 7. Go ahead. Between Detroit and a town called Victorville, California.
Wow.
How would you like to be tied with Detroit for anything?
I was just saying, poor Victorville.
Yeah, exactly. Number 6. Good old Cleveland. Cleveland always gets the bums rushed, do they not?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Number 5. St. Louis. Be careful around that arch. Dangerous. Number 4. Macon, Georgia.
Macon, Georgia. Come on, really? Macon?
Yeah.
Well, I've been through Macon. It didn't seem that bad.
Doesn't seem that bad to me either. Number 3. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, what the heck is out in Albuquerque to make people drive badly? That's what I would like to know. I always think of that as New Mexico is like wide open.
I would think so, but I mean, I'm sure
every once in a while there's Native Americans running around, unless you run over
Albuquerque's
one.
Albuquerque's a pretty good sized town.
Yeah.
City, rather.
Yeah, that surprises me. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Number 2. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Have you been there?
No.
It's north of New Orleans.
Right.
Of course, everything in Louisiana is north of New Orleans. But I wonder what's there in Baton Rouge. That's the same question I would have as I would have in Albuquerque.
I mean, I've gotten as far as Bourbon Street, but that's about it.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to drive down Bourbon Street, by the way.
Well, you can't.
Oh, well, good.
I mean, you walk down that.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No cars.
I never got to drive. We took it was a Bucks game.
Yeah.
Plane and then taxi and
I see.
Walked to the stadium.
Okay, Ed, what do you think?
Oh, I didn't know it.
Let me give you I'll give you a hint, and it might help. It may not. You got to have a memory. I lived there at one time. You remember any of the places I lived? And maybe it's because I was there that they became rotten drivers, by the way.
Alabama, something like that. I don't know.
I did live in Auburn, Alabama. You're right. But that ain't it.
In that area? No.
No.
Illinois? Somewhere.
That was another place I lived, but that ain't it either. Mm-hmm. There's one other place. Man, I can't remember.
No.
Memphis, Tennessee. See. Memphis, Tennessee has got the worst drivers. I'm so ashamed of my old hometown, Memphis. And I don't know why. I'm trying to think of what there would be in Memphis. I mean, if you go too far west, you'll drive into the Mississippi River because it's right on the border there. But that's the way it goes. All right.
Well,
hey, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back Friday. In the meantime, drive safely. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.